Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by Petra Mediterranean Bistro. Take a journey to Greece, Lebanon, Jordan, and the North Shore of Africa by way of Belltown as you dine in a welcoming atmosphere and experience the hospitality that Chef Call provides. Need a quick bite? Drop into the attached cafe or shop for authentic flavors in their adjoining store. Visit PetraBistro.com for more information.
Hello, this is Duke Moskrit from Duke's Chowderhouse, and welcome to the Seattle Dining Show.
Coming to you live at the Test Kitchen Studio high atop Queen Anne Hill, it is time for the Seattle Dining Show. Join us as we explore news about Northwest restaurants, take a look at upcoming events, discover new kitchen tips you can use at home, dive into great recipes, and much more. And now, here's your host, the senior editor, Connie Adams, and whoever else just happened to drop by today.
Welcome to the October Seattle Dining Show, number 1610. I'm Connie Adams, senior editor of Seattle Dining, and I'm here with Tom Maron, publisher of Seattle Dining, on this rainy first rainy day of fall, 2016.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, no, not
drizzle, that. Drizzle, drizzle.
Well, because we're linear people, we have our ways of doing things, and that's to start out each show by telling you where we've been lately. So, Tom, what's happening with you? Where have you been out?
A couple places I've been. A couple weekends ago, I went over to El Camino, which I guess will be for my last time.
Yeah, it seems to be one of those that's going to go down to development.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll move it.
Nobody knows,
right?
Well, I don't know. And as far as I know, the original owner still has it. So, I mean, could be time to just give it up, or it could be like, you're not taking my baby from me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll get a spot in a new building there, or if she's already found something somewhere else. We'll have to do a little more digging around.
Yeah.
Another place I went to, this is a new one. It's formerly a food truck, now on Greenwood Avenue at around 82nd.
That's right.
Called Valhalla. Lots of comfort foodie-like sandwiches in there. I couldn't actually hold the sandwich.
Oh,
because everything poured out of it when I tried that.
Oh. Well, what did you get? Was it a particularly
It was a sandwich they make with like a roast beef and a mayo sauce and some veggies, grilled veggies and so on.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they have a funny name for it. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay. But not one particularly that you'd think would fall apart because it was so gooey.
No, but you could look at the menu and you'd see a lot of them were sort of the same style.
Yeah.
So
it is, that is a comfort food thing, isn't it?
Mm-mm. But, you know, you got to try these new places. And
and more than once. One sandwich does
not
make
more than once. So I may go back in a couple of years. I
don't know. You're very enthused.
So where have you been eating?
You know, one place that I didn't eat, but I'm just enthralled with at the moment. You know how sometimes a place just hits you right, and that's Fremont Mischief. It's a distillery in Fremont. It's right across from the canal. They're planning a restaurant, and in fact, we'll have a story in our October issue about them, so you can get more information there. But the people who own it, the husband's been in the fishing industry for years. The wife was in high tech, and they decided to do this. One of the things that they also do is design and build houseboats. They built their own houseboat. They built one for his mom, where she lived until she passed away. So in the tasting room, the older tasting room, they've got a new one now on the same property, everything looks like a little ship. You know, there's little tiny drawers, and it's dark wood, and it's just one of those places, like I said, that hit me right. It's just got a cool atmosphere. And there's a courtyard in the middle, and they often have music on the stage. They're planning the restaurant, which will have a rooftop dining area. So
I think they should just roll a houseboat into that patio area and then put the rooftop dining on top of the already existing houseboat.
I hope they're listening to this. Otherwise, we'll have to email them that.
Yeah, I mean, they could have already built the restaurant. They just don't know it yet.
The other place that I've been eating this month, for some reason, I seem to be in a casual sort of comfort foodie thing too. I found a place in Kent called Lucky House Chinese, and it was probably an A&W root beer place or burger place. You know, it's kind of unusual inside. It's so casual. It's nothing to look at.
Maybe it was a triple X.
Well, it didn't have a barrel-looking thing, but on the inside it had a kind of a raised ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing it up is because it's very cafeteria-ish inside, very plain tables and chairs. But we went for dim sum, and honestly, it was the best dim sum I've had for a while, since OAsian went down. So I don't – and I asked them it's not a lot of English spoken there, and but I did ask the owner how long they'd been here, and they said 3 years. And I asked somebody else if they made everything there, and they said yes. So somebody knows what they're doing. And then we were recently at Oripin, which is up on top of Queen Anne.
Yep.
And it's been there a long time, 20 years or something. And they are just about to take that second dining room and turn it into a bar and lounge.
Oh, yeah.
That may have already had their soft opening because it's right around this time. But anyway, that the food is always good there. It's very consistent. The people are friendly. And now they're going to have that little added thing, which is going to be fun. And then I was at Ballard Brothers Seafood the other day, and they do fish and chips, clam strips. They also do burgers.
A lot of fried stuff.
A lot of fried stuff. And it's a funny place because it's one of those places that I can't sit here and say something great about it, but I can't say anything bad about it either. It's just there, and it's fine, you know? But
yeah,
it doesn't wow me.
It just satiates your appetite, and that's it.
Yeah. But it's not bad. I mean, you know, it's not like, I should go someplace else next time. It's like, you know, it's just, I don't know why it hits me that way, but.
Well, you got to vote with your dollars.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just sort of ho-ho, then time to move on.
Exactly. Speaking of moving on, you have a topic for our monthly discussion.
Oh, okay. So we're going to do this one.
Don't you think?
Sure.
Okay.
I didn't really, I'll do it off the top of my head. So we were going to talk about getting ready for doing holiday and fall type things, right? Mm-hmm. And things that you could be doing now to get ready for the holidays. So you'll be rushed anyways when you get to the holidays.
Yeah, you always think you're prepared, and then a whole bunch of things have to happen anyway.
But there are some things you can do right now to make your life a little easier later on. One of them is, you know, I don't know if you've ever taste tested chicken broth out of the store.
It's not pretty.
Most of it's pretty nasty and salty.
You know, you usually do that when you're not feeling well and you say, I just need some broth.
Yeah.
And then you taste it and it's like, oh my God, that's just dreadful.
Or you do it when you're going to get a colonoscopy and they tell you all you can do is drink chicken broth for the next 12 hours.
And you know it's bad when you'd rather drink the stuff that makes you go to the bathroom. That tasted better.
So if you got a crock pot, you got everything you need to make your own chicken stock. We've got a recipe on Seattle Dining for it. There's tons of them on the internet. And you can be making far better chicken stock at home than you can buy on the counter at any grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
So grab yourself a recipe, make up your chicken stock, and pour it into 2-quart containers and put it in your freezer. And you got all the chicken stock you're going to need for your dressing, for rice, for whatever you're going to need to be using it for.
You know, one thing I'd like to say is that I often want to use it, but I need 2 tablespoons or something, or a quarter cup. So when you're freezing it, do some small containers.
Yeah.
Because then you're not taking out your quart thing and using a tiny bit. And in my case, I end up leaving it in the refrigerator so long I can't use it after a while.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you could use a cup today and a cup tomorrow or something like that too.
Yeah.
So.
The other thing too about the fall is that, and you wouldn't do this for your major holiday dinners if you're cooking at home, but for general fall stuff, I love one pot meals, you know, like stews or something like that. And those are really fun. You can do those in the crock pot too.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that is a good idea to do right now is a little spring cleaning in the fall.
Yeah.
Get your kitchen cleaned up. And I've been looking at my counter over here and realizing that I need to rearrange all that stuff. I'm actually thinking about taking that juicer and putting it on Craigslist. I don't use it anymore.
I know.
I don't make juice anymore. I eat the fruit and skip the juice.
Although the juice would be good because you're not putting sugar in it, but you do lose the value of the skins.
Yeah, I just don't have that much call for juice on the things that I make anymore.
Yeah,
So that may be something that's going away. And I need to rearrange that so that all – because I've got all those appliances up there, the blenders and the coffee maker and, on and on. And you kind of want to have the ones you use the most closest to where your work area is.
Yeah.
And maybe some of these things I need to just store up in the pantry closet if I got a little room up there.
Yeah. I think that's true probably for everyone. Sometimes you think, hey, it would be fun to make such and such. I've got a little time on Saturday. And then you realize you've got it stuck back in a cupboard and there's 42 things in front of it because none of us have enough cupboard space for the things we have in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon it just seems overwhelming to even bother starting.
Yeah.
I think that for me, that stops me sometimes. And that's too bad because it's fun to cook at home.
Yep. Yeah, it is. And if you have a kitchen that you like, you'll cook in it.
Yeah.
If you have a kitchen you don't like, you're not going to want to cook in it. Yeah.
And if it's poorly set up or things are not where they're easy to get or you have to dig for things all the time, it just stops you.
And, you know, when you're old and creaky like us, you want to make sure you have the things that you're using all the time up in the high drawers, not in the drawers at the bottom.
I think you're talking about you. I'm not sure about me.
Oh, okay. Another thing is I've been trying the Amazon Prime Pantry. Now, not that I want to take away any business from my local grocery stores. I'll still be going to them. But you get some pretty decent deals on stuff.
Yeah,
I'm getting Amy soups and chilies for like $2.50 a can.
What is it normally?
I think that's like $3 or $4 in the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, that adds up.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, I have a problem with that sometimes. It's like I don't want to live online, and I don't want to give everything to these huge places. But on the other hand, it really does add up.
Well, and actually, you know, I can't just only get it online because I buy so much organic stuff now that I need to be going to my regular Central Market or down to Whole Foods or whatever. Hey, we finally found organic pizza. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a good find.
That was at Whole Foods.
Yep.
The other thing, too, is that I personally, and I'm sure it works for a lot of people, but I don't want to buy produce. I don't want somebody else to pick out my produce and bring it to me.
Definitely, I don't want that.
You know, I want to look at it. Yeah. I want to know.
And I think in those deals, don't they have like a deal cut with either Albertsons or Safeway or something? If you use the Amazon grocery service,
I don't
use it. So.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I realized the other day, Amazon is no longer a tech company. It is a conglomerate.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably one of the highest paying conglomerate stocks on the market right now.
Really?
But I mean, look at all the different things that they sell. It's no different from like a Kroger, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been quite an amazing life for that company.
Yeah.
It's really altered in
20 years.
Wow.
Crazy.
That is crazy. Now I do feel like an old geezer. Thanks, Tom.
Did you feel as creaky 20 years ago as you do now? Was it from all that bending over for the Amazon boxes?
Yeah,
is that what got you creaky?
That's probably what it was. And I've had too much stuff in the lower drawers in my kitchen. That's always what the deal breaker is.
All right. Got anything else you want to cover here? Or are we going to take a break?
I don't think so. The other thing just is that if you have things you can get that aren't perishable and stock up on those now, especially things like, well, I was going to say cranberry sauce, as if the stores don't have enough of that. But things that you just don't have to, you could spread the cost out if you're buying stuff earlier that's not going to be perishable so you can have it when you want it.
Yeah.
Those are good things to do, too.
And they do run out of stuff like pumpkin. You know, if you've got a special pumpkin pie mix you like, get it now because it might be out when you go to the shelf to get it, and then you're going to be up the creek without a pumpkin pie.
Without a pumpkin paddle. That would be dreadful.
All righty. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at some of the latest tidbits from our News Bites file.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by The Paragon Bar and Grill, your Upper Queen Anne destination for lunch, teeny time, evening entertainment, and weekend brunch. For two decades, The Paragon has served as the go-to neighborhood location while welcoming others from all over the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Visit them online today at ParagonSeattle.com.
Hi, this is Julie from Tavolo. Welcome to the Seattle Dining Show.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and I'm just now moving here to Washington in Tumwater, and I'm looking forward to finding the best restaurants that Seattle has to offer.
Connie and Tom, and we're back for the News Bites discussion.
We're back again.
You can keep up with our News Bites as they happen by following our Twitter account at SeattleDining1 or reading the News Bites column at www.seattledining.com. Tom, take it away.
So, let's see. This one's fairly new. The Met Grill is going to be doing Seahawks Sunday brunches for home games. They just did one here in September, and they'll be doing it on 10/16, 11/20, and 12/24.
And don't you want to be having a Seahawks brunch on Christmas Eve day?
Yeah, that sounds good. And I'm guessing these must be like 10 o'clock games, right?
I don't know about the game times, but obviously the brunch is in the morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be no 7 p.m. kickoff time, no,
oh.
Right?
I can't tell you that. You're asking a non-football person about this, so I just
haven't
don't
looked at
know.
My Seahawks schedule.
So how do they reserve for that?
They go online or they call the Metropolitan Grill.
Okay. And apparently they're doing both breakfast and lunch, and they're doing steaks for breakfast. On the menus are both breakfast and lunch menus.
Yeah. I bet you they'll do something inventive like steak and eggs.
Hey, crazy. Mm. Crazy. Hitchcock restaurant owner Brendan McGill is opening Bruciato in November at 240 Winslow Way East, right downtown on Bainbridge Island. And that's going to be Neapolitan pizza, seafood, veggies in the wood-fired grill, that kind of thing. He'd done this as a pop-up on occasion, and it was popular, so he's finally got an actual spot to do it all the time.
Did he take somebody else's place over, like NOLA or something like that? Or?
No. I read what it was, and it wasn't a food place.
Okay. It was probably the local Bainbridge locksmith shop.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going with that.
Okay. Precept Wine has purchased 62 acres of ranch land near Benton City. I wonder if they'll be planting grapes.
Yes, they will be.
Next to their Skyfall Vineyard, 57 acres of red Bordeaux grape varieties are coming.
Yeah. So that'll be something like, it's going to be something like total 162 acres they'll have right there. And that's prime grape growing area.
Yeah. That's just right down below. No,
Red Mountain.
Yeah, Red
right
Mountain.
Right in there. Yeah.
But since it's Benton City, it's probably not Red Mountain AVA.
No, I don't believe so.
It's a Benton City AVA.
Yes.
Yeah.
BC.
We have so many AVAs now.
I know, it was such a special thing in the beginning, and now it's like my backyard has some really great soil.
Yeah, I got the Tacoma AVA wine the other day. It was delicious.
Rumba Seattle has some changes. Jim Romdahl has been the bar manager there for a while, and he's been a big cocktail guy around town for a number of years. And he's been there for a while, but he has taken off as of October 22nd, and he's going to be the brand manager for Novo Fogo. So taking over for him is a guy named Tommy Stearns. He was formerly at Cannon.
And when you say Cannon, is that a restaurant?
It was a cocktail lounge.
No, it wasn't like selling cameras and copy machines.
No, it was a lounge bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had to be sure.
Oh, because it's spelled like that. Yeah. And you're a photo guy, so that's what you're thinking.
Yeah. I want to get a free camera on his way out the door from Canon.
No, Tom will do that for you.
Volunteer Park is going to be doing some family-style Sunday suppers. Does that mean they put the big round roulette wheel in the middle of the table and spin it with the food on it?
I think they put platters up and down the tables. That's my theory. I have not been to one.
So that'll be $45 a person. They just did their first one here in September. They'll be doing them on October 9th, November 13th, and December 18th.
Exactly. And the $45 was for the September dinner. I don't know if they're always $45 or if, depending on the menu, they might go up or down a little. And beer and wine is available for purchase when you're there. Let's see, Willow's Lodge. I love Willow's Lodge, and they are 16 years old.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. Time nice. To kiss those people. In September, they had a nice little celebration going on. You've missed that now. But I thought we should bring that up anyway, because it's quite the you know, it's really the nicest place in the Woodinville area, which is a big draw for wine people. So it's wonderful that it's there. And they're always updating. They've always got something new going on. They just refurbished the patio this summer.
Okay. So. And then Red Hook Brewing Company down around the corner from them, that's like turning into like a Pabst Blue Ribbon plant or something.
Yeah, they're going to brew Red Hook in Portland.
Yeah.
And they're going to brew some of their other big things in Woodinville. So it's going to be still a producing property, which is good news. But, you know, if you're really into local beers, you know, Pabst or whatever they're going to brew there is not all that exciting, but.
Red Hook kicks off the microbrewing craze in Fremont years ago. Then they get shuttled out to Woodinville. And now they've been shuttled down to Portland. They're the little stepchild of the microbrewing companies now.
Oh, don't even talk about what might happen to other ones that have been purchased.
All right. Capital Grill has a Wagyu and Wine event in the lounge through
November 20th.
So get all that Wagyu you can before your turkey shows up.
Do you remember this? Because we did it last year.
Choose from 3 Wagyu burgers to enjoy with a glass of world-class wine for $25 at the Capital Grill. That's a pretty good deal.
Well, and you're talking Wagyu, and you're talking really nice wines.
Yeah.
And there's 3, I think, that you – well, that's the burgers. But there's
is it 3
wines.
Different kinds of burgers?
Yeah. We went last year. Remember, you could get one with an egg on it, or you could get one with truffle something. And I don't know if that's the same this year. I was happy.
Okay.
But anyway.
How about a truffle and an egg? Yum.
No, they weren't together. Although they could be. That doesn't sound bad to me. All right. Our last news bite today is that Art of the Table is moving. So if you're a big fan of this, you're going to probably be happy. They're not going a long way away. They're going to 3801 Stoneway North in early 2017. So you've got some time there. They're going to have a larger chef's table. They're going to have a lounge. They're going to start doing brunch. The old one will close before the new one opens, so all those dates are coming, but know that there will be a little downtime, but don't panic. They'll be reopening.
I've never been, so I'll have to go.
Yeah, it's one of those you come in and it's a pre-fee deal and they do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do they tell you ahead of time what you're going to get, or you just find out when you get there?
Oh, no, you can find out what that's going to be. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our news bites. And like Connie said, you can catch the column on Seattle Dining, or you can subscribe to the Twitter feed so that you get the news as it happens on your smartphone.
Exactly. And we try and put things up all the time, so we just pick and choose a few to talk about on the show. But there's more out there for you to learn.
Yep. All right. We will be right back with calendar highlights for October.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by Salty Seafood Waterfront Restaurants. Visit them on the water at their Alki, Redondo, and Portland locations.
Hi, it's Leslie Mackey from Macrina Bakery here in Seattle, and you're listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
Hi, I'm Josh from Capitol Hill. I can't make up my mind what my favorite place is yet.
Jump left, jump right, jump left, jump right. Jump left, jump right, jump left, jump and.
The Seattle Dining Show is back, and now we're going to look at some fun things that are coming up on the calendar.
Get your wallet out.
Yeah, these things are fabulous, and they're pricey.
Starting with this first one here, this is a single malt Saturday at Daniel's Broiler in Bellevue. They're going to have over 100 single malt scotches that you can taste and sample. And
can I just say, probably sampling 100 is not in your best interest.
Probably don't want to do that. You want to limit yourself. Maybe 99, but not 100.
Yeah.
There will be appetizers as well. And
there are
3 ways to do this. You can take the master class for $175 plus tax. You can be a VIP for only $150, or you can be a general admission later when all the good scotch is gone at $100. And imagine this, you've got to be 21 or over to go to this event. I don't know why.
It's a bit sad that we have to make that point, that, you know, they have to say it's a 21 and over event, like somebody would not have realized that.
Can't I bring my two-year-old grandson with me? And
I'm sure
put a little bit on your tongue, Alvin.
You are just getting a little out of control. Let's get some sleep going.
All right, what do we got next here?
We have Cake Bread Sellers Vintner Dinner at Semiamu. And let me just say that that would be really fun, you know, unless you lived locally, but to go up there and spend the night. And there is a, you know, just a really inexpensive overnight, $439 for two people. And the dinner is $135 per person if that's all you're doing. But it is a beautiful place.
Okay, so the 135 is included in the 439. There's two of those 135s, right?
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably
be.
So. Yeah.
Be. So that's a pretty good deal.
And it's a gorgeous place. And I'm not going to read the whole menu because there's a lot to this. We've got it all out there. But just as an example, the third course is a Wagyu steak tartare with lobster, fried quail eggs, and herb hollandaise with a 2013 Pinot Noir. Now, that just sounds dreadful. And that's just one course.
And it's herb hollandaise. It's not herb hollandaise, the great trumpeter. Oh, no, wait, that was Herb Alpert, I'm sorry.
Oh, Herb Alpert. Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert. So anyway, that would be a very fun thing to do. That's happening on October 4th, 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Semiamu.
All right, this is over at Serafina on the 8th. It's a special program that's going to be put on by the chefs as well as with Solomon Navarro. It's called Perfect Pairings. And if anyone knows how to pair wines with food, Solomon would be on that list for sure. He's fantastic at what he does. So he's going to be discussing the principles of pairing and what you can do with the various grape varietals, their characteristics, and so on. And this is includes a four-course lunch. And it's $95 per person plus tax and gratuity. And anybody can go. They don't have to be 21, but they're not going to get any wine if they're under 21.
And did we say that was on the 8th?
That's on the 8th. Yeah, October the 8th.
And as we all know, that's in the Eastlake neighborhood. And then on the 14th, there's a Taste of Seattle Made, M-A-D-E, party. You don't have to go clean anything. And they're going to... You can enjoy 45 different Seattle-based food and beverage items. There's a DJ dance party, food trucks, and more. And one ticket gets 7 alcohol pours and unlimited food samples. And that's $35, so you don't need your wallet out for that one. Also, by the way, 21 and over. And that is presented by Seattle Made. So you can find out more about that at seattlemade@seattlenetwork.org.
Okay. Down in Tacoma, the Pacific Grill is having a special event dinner with 5 courses and 5 champagnes. And they'll have 5 industry professionals there.
We're only assuming the industry professionals know about champagne.
Yeah. I mean, it could have us. We don't know anything about champagne, no.
Well, industry professionals, you know, it could be somebody who's really into bell making or something. I don't, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to the website to get more details on this at PacificGrillTacoma.com because we don't have the pricing information here. We don't know if you could do this without a cash or you have to get into your 401k or what you're going to have to do to go to this.
Now, there's a industry tip. When you use the Seattle Dining Calendar, make sure to put in what time it starts and how much it is.
Yeah, they give me the who, where, why, when, and how much it cost.
Yes.
What's next?
The next one is October 21st, and this is at Port Ludlow Resort at the Fireside. It's the Silver City Brewmaster Dinner. So it's a 6-course plated dinner. Don Spencer, who's the brewmaster, and Jordan Marsh, who's the sales director from Silver City, will be there to talk about the beers. It's $59 per person, which is just very reasonable, plus tax and gratuity. You do need to make reservations, so give the Fireside a call at 360-437-7412, and I'm sure there's some deals out there. I saw something just the other day about the relaxation package or something. So if you don't live near Port Ludlow, get the stay the night.
So where is Silver City? Is that supposed to be a trick name for Silverdale or something like that?
I'm terrified that I don't know that. I think they're local. I think they're local.
Sounds like I need to go find Silver City.
Yes.
Okay, Better with Bitters at Chiquetti on October 22nd. Chiquetti is behind Serafina in the East Lake neighborhood. And the guys in the bar there, they do mix up their drinks well. So there's lots of different things they'll be doing with bitters. We're going to have some food with this as well. And there's going to be some educating going on about making your bitter cocktails at home. $80 per person plus tax and gratuity.
And when you say bitter cocktails, it's not a bitter thing. I'm not bitter
about you correcting me on that.
All right. On October 26th, one of our favorite people, Casper Donier, is doing a Thanksgiving dinner cooking class. This is, you know, they've moved their production.
Moved everything up to Magnolia. Yep.
So it would be fun to go and see their new spot if you haven't been there. And he's going to walk you through how to prepare the perfect turkey, all the holiday fixings. And I think, you know, that's great for somebody who hasn't done it before, but also it's wonderful to get some new ideas or think, you know, sometimes we get into habits on holiday dinners about how we do it. And he's, you know, he's great. So
and
he's
honestly, I mean, the traditional way to make a turkey is pretty bogus. You know, baking a turkey in the oven and stuffing the cavity with. We've learned so many other ways now to break a turkey. You know, I know you know this, but the listeners don't. My favorite way is when we break that turkey down and bake it in the oven without that cavity anymore.
Well, and the thing is, then you can get the dark meat and the light meat to both come out without being dry. They're nice and moist instead
And we brine that meat up beforehand. We've got it all broken down, and we brine it overnight. So many better ways. So who better, you know? I'm sure there's a lot of chefs I would like to learn turkey tips from, but Casper would certainly be one of them.
And, you know, for all we know, Casper loves to do the whole turkey and not break it down. So we may be saying that without telling you that that's how you're going to learn it. But he would be able to answer all those questions because he knows this stuff.
Yep. And then the month ends on the 27th of October. There would be nothing for you to do between the 28th and the 31st. It's just the month is over.
It's
you can
done.
Just sit in the couch and watch TV. But on the 27th, this is going to cap off a great month of food. It's Bob Betts doing a family wine dinner at Russell's Restaurant out in Bothell. And so he'll be there with his wine, and you know there's going to be good food out there. And he's going to be talking about what's going on in the vineyards these days and how they're making wine and lots more information on our calendar page. The price on this is $125 per person, and I'm going to guess that you've got to pay tax and gratuity as well.
Well, you know what? Again, it doesn't say it in here, but generally the prices at Russell's include tax and gratuity.
Oh, okay.
So check that out. I could be wrong, but in the past, that's how he's done it. So
okay. So let's take a little break here. We've got a special guest coming up who's celebrating 25 years of having a restaurant.
Amazing.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by Trellis Restaurant at the Heathman Hotel in Kirkland. Enjoy fine dining all day long, 7 days a week at Trellis, an Eastside favorite.
Hi, this is Chris. I'm from Panther Creek Cellars. We're located in Dundee, Oregon, and you are listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
My name's Ryan. I live in Beacon Hill, and my favorite restaurant to eat at is El Quetzal.
Are back with the Seattle Dining Show. I'm Tom Marin, the publisher. I'm here with Connie Adams, our senior editor.
And he means that in the nicest way possible.
Yeah. And we've got a very special guest here today. We've got Nat Stratton Clark here from Cafe Flora. And Cafe Flora is celebrating their 25th anniversary.
That's amazing.
So I'm going to let you take over here.
All right. Well, Nat, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. 25 years is a long time. What do you attribute that to? Why has it stayed? And it's only gotten more popular over the years. It's not like it's, you know, just sitting there and a couple people come in. You know, it's huge.
I mean, I think 25 years is amazing. I mean, it's definitely, we're so excited to be celebrating 25 years of vegetarian food in Madison Valley. And I mean, I think we just have phenomenal guests. We have phenomenal people who come into Flora, who love it, mm-hmm. and who spread the word. And then we've just got a great staff. And we have so many staff members who've been with us 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, mm-hmm. 15 years. And we've got more than a few who've been with us 20 plus years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, that doesn't happen unless that culture is in place. And even back when it started, there were three original owners before you bought it. And that was the plan, right? I mean, it was taking care of your employees, community-based stuff. It was all stuff that people talk about now, but it wasn't common then.
No, I think it was pretty revolutionary back at the time. I mean, I think restaurants at that time, that wasn't a goal, it wasn't a priority. And even in its founding, in its first year in 1991, really the conversation was about caring about staff, creating a community environment, and making sure that the staff is happy. And the staff is such a huge part of a restaurant. And I think really, you know, understanding that from day one is something that Cafe Flora has done well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been amazing. And they took it from, it was an old laundromat, right?
It was. It was a laundromat and a house. And the house, and they just don't do this anymore. They took the house, put it on two big flatbed trucks, and drove it up Madison. They closed Madison to do it.
Oh,
drove it up and moved it up to John. It was a beautiful old house. You know, and these days they just tear it down.
Oh, yeah.
But David and Gracie and Scott really wanted to keep that beautiful architecture. And so they moved it up and put it up on John.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
On. Well, the other thing that I think probably has these guests coming back all the time is when it started, they were like, vegetarian food doesn't have to be plain and boring. But there's a lot of meat eaters who love your place because it's global in nature. But long before it was popular again, it was organic, sustainable. And now you guys do a lot of gluten-free, soy-free, some nut-free things. So you're always kind of on the cutting edge there.
We like to push, you know, we like to push the envelope. I think when we started, it was really about, there's, you know, there's so much great vegetarian food out in the world, and it's about highlighting that mm-hmm. and showcasing that vegetarian food has flavor, has texture, has all kinds of different components to it. But from day one, you know, we were the very first restaurant that Full Circle Farm sold to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And
way
that's
back.
So common
and
now.
It was Luke and his pickup truck. I mean, you're talking about years and years and years ago. And for us, that's always been a priority. When I first started at the restaurant, you know, part of my job was going to three farmers markets a week, and it's something I've held on to. And we do that buying from the smallest farms we can because we know that our dollar is going to help support them grow.
Yeah.
Now, there's one trend you're not into, though.
What's that?
Grass-fed.
That's true. There's well, not, grass-fed not carrots,
serving
maybe.
Any grass-fed food, right?
Grass-fed carrots.
Yeah, if somebody takes their lawn cuttings and puts them in their vegetable garden, isn't that grass-fed?
I think that's grass-fed, absolutely, right? I think that qualifies, definitely.
The carrots love it,
right?
I mean, you know. you do also, it's not just vegetarian, you have some vegan items too.
And we do, absolutely. You know, I think for us, it's about, you know, vegetarian food, but we also do a ton of vegan food, a ton of gluten-free food. For me, it's always so exciting when people come into the restaurant who have dietary restrictions and they're used to just getting a salad with nothing else on it.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, you look at the menu and there's one thing that you can eat. And I love when people come to the restaurant and they're like, oh my God, I have so many choices.
Yeah.
There's so many options. Or look, I can go out and eat at a restaurant. I mean, so many folks, that's impossible.
Exactly.
They just can't go out to eat. And Cafe Flora, we really try and be that place that they get to come to.
Yeah. It's such a nice thing. You don't realize when you can just pick and choose whatever you want to do, how restricting a diet is when you've got some issues.
Definitely. And it's, you know, we'll get guests who'll come in and they've just come from their doctor. They've just heard that they're gluten-free or they've just heard that they, you know, need to cut dairy out of their diet. And you know, they're just at a bit of a loss, and they've heard that we're a good place to go to. And it's so exciting to have them come and go, oh, wait, I can have a pizza,
yes.
You know, or I can have falafel with gluten-free pita. Okay, great.
Yeah.
It's such a nice moment to have those conversations with guests.
Can you imagine being so restricted and then actually having an appetizer and an entree and a dessert?
Right. Or having choices of desserts, being like, I could have two different desserts.
Yeah.
They usually end up getting both.
Because I can.
Right.
When you started, you were actually the kitchen buyer.
Mm-hmm. I did. I came in as the kitchen buyer. It was a great position. And it meant coordinating with the 30-plus farms that we buy from.
Yeah.
And it's something that we're really dedicated to. But it takes a lot of extra work. But it's something that we're committed to doing. And so when I came in, that was what I did. I was working with all of our farmers, all of the different purveyors that we work with, and getting to go to the farmer's market. And that little piece I've held on to all this time.
Yeah.
I still go to the Columbia City Farmer's Market every Wednesday.
You wouldn't want to give that up.
No. It's so nice to get out. I mean, the markets in Seattle, I think, are just one of the things that makes Seattle so great.
Yeah, because they're all over the place.
Now, this is the farmer's market in Madison Valley?
This is the farmer's market. The Wednesday one I go to is the one in Columbia City.
Okay.
And I think it's probably one of my very favorite markets. It's a little bit smaller, but the kind of the diversity of produce, of farmers there is unlike anywhere else.
Oh, wow.
And it's just it's a sweet market. And some of our favorite farmers go to it. So
yeah.
You can almost take the rail line from where you are down there, right?
Almost. I mean, the Columbia City stop is right there. Yeah, for us, it would just mean going up to the Broadway.
Of course, they probably don't want you getting onto the rail with like six dozen tomatoes.
Right. My 85 pounds of red Bartlett pears might not go over as well.
You're like, excuse me, could you help me get off that train?
My little red wagon pulling it along.
Everybody out of this car.
You know, people talk about this all the time in any business, but it should be all about relationships. And that's one reason I'm glad that you haven't given that up, because you build those over the years. And, you know, if somebody else does that and you're just at the restaurant, then pretty soon you lose that part. And I'm sure they love seeing you as much as you love seeing them. And it's been years.
It has been years. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, to see people, you know, these are farmers I've known for 10 plus years now. I mean, that's an incredible relationship to have. And it really does mean, you know, a lot of them will grow stuff just for us. I mean, we've got one farmer who just grows all of our edible flowers.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it was just over the years we developed that relationship. And she's like, I'm going to build a little greenhouse and I'm going to try growing some flowers. And now that whole sweet little greenhouse is just full of Cafe Flora's edible flowers.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty great.
God. Well, you went from the kitchen buyer to being the GM.
I did.
So that was only a year. You started in 2004, so you became GM the next year.
Yep. It was great. It was I welcomed the opportunity and became the general manager. Really, you know, just had such a great crew, and I think that's something that I keep coming back to. But it's so true. It's just a really just solid family atmosphere amongst the staff.
That's really unusual.
Yeah,
I think it's an industry where there's a lot of turnover.
And I think, you know, for us, we've never had, you know, some kitchens you have that divide of kitchen in front of the house, and that's never been true at Cafe Flora. It was one of the first questions I asked when I interviewed. I said, you know, well, tell me about the staff, tell me about the relationship between front of the house and back of the house. How do they get along? And I remember David, who had interviewed me at the time, who was the original owners, was like, oh no, everybody gets along great. You know, there's such great friendships across, you know, across the divide, and there really isn't one. And that's something that's really held true this whole time.
Well, that's another thing, too. You stayed in the GM position 2 years, and then to 2007. It was 2008 when you bought it. And that the fact that there are all those people still there after an ownership change, of course, you'd been there. You were part of the staff.
Yes.
So that helps. But I think that says a lot, too, because you clearly have kept all these cultural things going.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an amazing place, and I think the energy there, the staff and the guests that we have really just create such a phenomenal environment. And it was a great transition. It really it worked well. We still Janine Doran, who's our executive chef, who is just amazing, is still with us 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And we've just got a great relationship.
Yeah.
So what's going on the menu right now? Are you guys like celebrating the 25 years by bringing on some of the highlights? Or
we are. We're excited. So we've got our 25th anniversary on October 2nd. And for that night only, we're going to do four dishes. And we kind of went back to some of the chefs from our past. We talked to Jim Watkins, who was the opening chef of Cafe Flora. And he now is running all of the kitchens at Bastille. We went back to Sarah Wong, who, you know, got her start with us and now is the culinary instructor at Seattle Central Community College. Leslie Pettigrew, who's at Salar. I mean, really just people we have loved along the way and who've been part of the Flora family and said, well, tell us, what's one of your favorite dishes that you created?
Yeah.
And so we took four of those dishes, and then Janine picked one of her favorite dishes, and we're rolling back prices to 1991. So we pulled out that original menu, and so we're going to charge our 1991 prices just for that night, just for Sunday night, for those four dishes that we're going to do.
Is it reservation only or no reservations?
It's not. No reservations needed. We just, I mean, for us, we're a neighborhood place, and we always want to maintain that. So we say, just come on down and join us, and we're going to have a bunch of our beverage partners, some great Otis Canyon Winery, Community Kombucha, Stumptown, Remedy Teas, a bunch of different folks. Brovo Liqueurs are going to do tastings.
Can you get 1991 prices on the wine too?
Well, we're going to do so 50% of the wine that from Otis Canyon that you buy that night is we're going to donate to Bailey Boucher, who's our across the street neighbor, and it's their 25th anniversary as well.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's such a great neighborhood. We love Madison Valley so much, and Bailey Boucher is just a phenomenal organization and a phenomenal place.
That's another scary thing, that could be 25 years.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Well, tell us a little more about Chef Janine, too, because, like you said, it's been 24 years probably for her?
Probably about 24 years, maybe 23, 24, somewhere in there. Janine is amazing. I mean, she's just an incredible chef. Her palate is – there's just nothing to compare it to. And her creativity. And I think one of the things that she does better than – pretty much anyone I've ever met is create a collective environment around food. She really just helps other people shine. She encourages their creativity. She supports them. She really pushes their growth to get them where they need to be. And it's just so exciting to watch when somebody starts with us, from where they start to a year in, 2 years in, to see the growth in their food and their creativity. And that's something that she just supports unlike any other.
Wow.
So how – I know certain chefs will take off and go somewhere for inspiration. Is that something that she does? Where does her inspiration come from for coming up with the dishes?
You know, she does all kinds of things. She was just – she went down to Oaxaca recently and just, you know, took a couple – met with some great chefs down there. Just ate a ton of great things. She was just in Vancouver a couple weekends ago, going out to eat at a couple great restaurants out there. So she definitely gets around. She definitely loves to travel and try different things, see different flavor combinations. But yeah, she also just looks to everyone else in the kitchen too for what's that thing that excites them? What's that food that they're bringing? I mean, everybody's got different culinary ideas and inspirations, and bringing those together, I think
that combination of things can be.
Yeah, the combination of things just, I think, creates something really exciting.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to talk about is what's changed over the years. Obviously, not the staff, but like originally there was no alcohol, and now there's a bar.
Yes.
So people need. I mean, it's been there for a while, but good
yeah,
to know.
No, it's true. When we opened, there was no alcohol at all in '91, and that didn't last too long. The beer and wine came onto the menu relatively quickly, and it was really a response by the guests. The guests were like, "We really want to have a glass of wine with dinner."
Yeah.
And so beer and wine came on, and then when I took over as owner, I put in a full bar. We really were seeing guests wanting cocktails. We were really seeing. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was also being able to push our creativity in a different way, to be able to create these craft cocktails, to do, you know, everything's from scratch. We make all of our own. We do all infusions. We get to use all this great produce in some different ways.
Yeah. And you've got the herb garden.
Yeah,
so
we
there's
do.
For food and drinks. So.
Absolutely. And so that was one of the big pieces that's changed over the years. The atrium got added in 1996. It was an outdoor patio for the first couple of years, which some of our guests remember and many do not. Uh-huh. But it was umbrellas and patio chairs, which, you know, in the Northwest, sadly, only works for a couple months
exactly.
there. So it, you know, enclosed it, and it's got those big windows that open up, radiant heat in the floors and the fountain mm-hmm. in the middle. And I think that room has become kind of an iconic dining place in Seattle.
It has. It's nothing quite like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. You remodeled the main dining room in 2009.
We did, and it was really at the beginning. It was the beginning of my time as owner, and we wanted to give it a facelift. It had really looked the same since 91, and so we took out the carpet that had been in there, which was really big in the kind of late 80s, early 90s yeah. restaurant scene. Took out the carpet. We did a soy stain on concrete floors. It was right when they had just created a really cool soy stain, so we were excited about kind of using something not toxic.
Yeah.
And then we went out to all the different farms. We went out to Local Roots Farm, to Rock Ridge Orchard, and just collected, you know, Local Roots had a shed that had just kind of toppled over, and we just took all the wood from it and put it all in the restaurant. We had a they had an old gate at Rock Ridge Orchard that we now use as our bar divider. So it's really fun. I mean, we really collected all of that stuff from the farms that we use, and I think it's kind of a unique thing to mm-hmm. have. And it's a great kind of another way to bring in the farm partners that we have into the restaurant itself.
And so consistent to the whole concept, you know?
Yeah. And then we also, the other thing that we did was we added breakfast. You know, we had, when we opened, we had dinner, added brunch a little while later. And then when I came on to the scene, we added breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday. And that has been incredibly popular.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
A lot of places have closed down for lunch because they can't get enough people in, and you've added breakfast too.
We have, you know. I think again, I attribute it to our guests, who I just think are phenomenal and really love our breakfast food, really love our lunch food, and yeah, it's a thriving program.
Yeah. And then you did also kind of redesign the herb garden and put some seating out there too.
We did. We added outdoor seating. We, you know, it had always surprised me when I had gotten it. I'd always wondered why we didn't seat outside. It's such a sweet area back there, and you know, you're out amongst the plants. You've got the sun coming down. Why not have guests get to sit out there? So we did. Mm-hmm. We added a great. We've probably got, you know, 8 tables out there, and it's definitely the hot spot to be in the summer. People love to. We do happy hour out there. Guests love it. We also do small parties out there. So we've done this summer. We had probably we did 5 small weddings. Guests, you know, 25 guests.
Oh my gosh!
Sweet weddings in the garden. They would do the ceremony in the garden and have just a great dinner out there.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we do weddings in the atrium as well, and usually you know 50 to 75 people. We do a lot of rehearsal dinners, but this year was the first year we did ceremonies and small weddings out in the herb garden, and people loved it. It was great.
It is. It's nice. And it's off, you know, Madison.
Yeah.
It's not like it's...
No, it's tucked away. It's kind of this little secret garden feel to it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Do you have any other questions for Nat?
I just want to know, over 25 years, how has vegetarian and vegan cooking changed, and what kind of innovations have occurred in that genre over that time?
Oh, I mean, you just look at the culinary scene in general. I mean, how it's evolved from 1991 to now is huge. I mean, over every kind of cuisine. I think for me, one of the things I really notice is the availability of different, you know, different products. The availability. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, and you know, we've got rice milk and soy milk and coconut milk and hemp milk and all those things. And when we opened, you know, you couldn't even get soy milk. I mean, it took a ton of effort to try and find a purveyor to get soy milk from.
Well, there weren't any soy cows locally at that point.
So. Right, that herd just moved on. But almond milk, you know, I mean, you know, almond milk is something that now is just commonplace, but back then really wasn't. So just for us, the ability to get different things, I think, is really cool to see. And just people's knowledge. I mean, I think when we started, everybody's like, oh, it's a vegetarian restaurant, so you serve chicken and fish. And it's like,
no beef.
No, exactly. That's what people thought. They're like, oh, you just don't serve red meat. Okay, we get that. Now, you know, we very rarely does that question come up about what does it mean to be a vegetarian? I think it's become part of the dialogue, which is great. I think whether, you know, most of our guests are just trying to incorporate more vegetables into their diet, mm-hmm. more, you know, eating in different ways. And I think it's so exciting to see folks doing that.
Yeah.
I know you said you added breakfast, and I was trying to imagine breakfast without bacon. I just don't know if I could do it.
Well, I mean, we've got pancakes, we've got waffles, we've got, you've got all that produce. We've got a scramble on right now that was chanterelle mushrooms that just come off the mountain.
And, there you go.
So really, the breakfast is I think, it's one of our most popular meals, and there's just such good stuff. I love breakfast food. It's one of my, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
The cheesy grits alone, I mean, goodness.
Gotta love that. All right. Thank you, Nat, for being here.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Absolutely. 25 years. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
We'll be coming by soon.
Please do.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by Queen Anne Olive Oil. Explore their huge selection of flavor-infused olive oils and balsamics. Mix and match to create some unique taste treats. Take a field trip soon to the top of Queen Anne and experience oils and vinegars in a whole new way. Find more information at queenanneoliveoil.com.
Hi, this is Sam Crannell from Lloyd Martin on top of Queen Anne, and you're listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
Hi, this is Julie from Wallingford, and one of my favorite restaurants is the Whale Winds.
Kenny, are you awake?
All right, we are back, and I do want to thank Nat Stratton-Clark for dropping by today from Cafe Flora. That was a really nice interview.
That was great to talk with him.
And we sent him away with our new cookbook. This is your tip.
This is my tip.
Tell us your tip for eating indoors.
Not indoors, but at your house, as opposed to going out for dinner.
Uh-huh.
My tip is that, you know, when you're at home, you can really experiment and have fun, so it's always great to get new cookbooks. And that's where the shameless self-promotion comes in.
Yay, self-promotion.
Yay! When it's ours. we've been talking for months, shamelessly promoting Cooking with Class, our fundraiser that we do every September. And this was our 15th year. And this year, finally, because Tom stood behind me and pushed me, I got our first Cooking with Class cookbook done. And so we are selling that now. As you hear this, you can be able to go up and buy it off of the website,
SeattleDining.com.
And it's really fun because it is 50 recipes from different chefs who've been at Cooking with Class over the 15 years. There will be more books coming, but these are the first 50 we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just a really fun book. It gives you some information about the chef. It gives you their recipe for the dish they made and what year they made it. Very fun. And honestly, I have to say, when I was in my 30s, one of my favorite cookbooks was a Seattle restaurant cookbook. And in essence, that's what this is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, it's all these great chefs from local
restaurants. So let's just run through a few of who those chefs are. We've got Alvin Bonilla, who worked at Ponte for years, and now he's over at Jazz Alley.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Wayne Johnson, who's running the program over at Fairstort now.
Mm-hmm. Nick Musser from Icon Grill.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we've got a – I think we've got a one – oh, I know we do, from Casper Donier.
Yeah.
We've got one from him in there.
So a lot of good chefs, a lot of good restaurants like Casper's, like Serafina, like Salty's.
We put Thomas Kolasch's recipe from this year. This was the first time he came. He's at Collections Cafe at the Chihuly Garden and Glass. That's in there. And it ranges from appetizers to soup to salads to entrees.
Yeah, it's a good mix of stuff.
Yeah.
So you could come up with a whole dinner at home using the book. You could come up with the appetizers, with the salad, with the entree, with the dessert. It's all there for you to work with.
Yeah. And it's a spiral bind because we know when you're cooking, you need your space on your counter. So to be able to bend it back and keep the chef's face clean and use the recipe page only. Yeah.
And you know, we'll try to get this into some of the local bookstores, but they hate the spiral bind. So we understand that, but we know that the users really appreciate it. So for sure, you're going to be able to buy it online. And I'm going to do some special pricing for the holidays on the book. Now, the book is $25. For the 50 recipes, that's only 50 cents a recipe.
Yeah, that's a pretty big steal.
I'm going to do 6 books for $100 online.
Okay.
And then I'm going to offer 12 books for $150. That's $15 a book.
Whoa. What is it just that the holiday spirit has gotten into you?
Yeah, it has.
That's nice.
I want this to be a book that people can get and give to other people as a gift.
Yes.
So,
or for that matter, you know, it could be at the restaurants can buy that many and put them out on their check-in desk if people want to buy because their chef is in it. Or
yeah, exactly. Basically, it's a wholesale price, and yeah. I had that number wrong. It's $150 divided by 12. I think that's $12.50.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. What's even better?
So that's wholesale.
Wow.
You buy them at wholesale if you want.
Yeah.
Now you will have to pay tax and you will have to pay the shipping on them, yeah. But it's still a smoking deal.
And if you've got friends who love to cook, this is a really fun thing to do.
Yeah. And the people who are cooking with class this year, they came in, they supported it. We sold like 60 books out of 170 people that were there. So,
yeah.
And a lot of them that were there were couples. So people wanted this book.
Yeah.
We knew that.
Yeah.
So, we'll put a recipe up on Seattle Dining in the October issue, and we'll have links for you to buy it, which should all be actually there right now. And we encourage you to support what we do and help us keep doing what we're doing.
Exactly. All right. So what's your tip for going out?
My tip for going out is inspired by Nat, who we just did the interview with.
Yes.
You know, I asked him in the interview, how has vegetarian cooking changed over the 25 years of having a restaurant? And it's changed a lot. And he just pointed to one thing that was totally on the mark about the types of milks and things that are available now. They didn't have soy milk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you got turned off to vegetarian restaurants a long time ago and it just didn't fit your hankering for food, I challenge all of you to go try again.
Mm-hmm.
Get online, use our directory, call up vegetarian, start linking into some of these people's sites, see what catches your appetite. I'm going to be looking for protein things, but I'm going to go and I'm going to see what we've got in town now. I'm going to take a look at their menus. I'm going to pick one or two. I'm going to go to them. I went to one a couple of years ago when they opened up the Chaco Canyon over here, and it didn't really blow me away, but I'm willing to give it a shot again. So I'm going to go. I would end up over at Cafe Flora.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds like I should.
Oh, and you won't be alone because I'll be with you. Yeah.
Okay, so that's my tip for eating out. And then I'm doing a gadget this month, too.
Yes.
The kitchen gadget. And I was working with this tool the other day, and I looked at Connie, and I said, I just love this thing so much. It's the Cuisinart Smart Stick. And good quality. I have trouble breaking them. I think you broke one once. I think we had to get you a second
one. Yeah,
one
I do time. Have a second one, but it wasn't a Cuisinart. And it wasn't the whole Smart Stick thing. It was just the blender. I just had a hand blender.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't this.
Okay. So yeah, it's the blender. It's got the whisk and it's got the chopper grinder attachment, which I've been really loving. So when I want to chop shallots fine, I just cut the shallot in half and throw it into the blender or into the chopper grinder and take care of business that way. I've been using it for other stuff as well. The whisk was really nice the other day. I whisked up all the stuff that I was going to put into the cheese fondue.
Yep.
And it's a great tool, and it's one that I use 3 or 4 times a week, so I highly recommend it.
You know, I broke my, the hand blender, the thing you hold it, you put the little...
Like a cake mixer.
Cake mixer, you know.
Yeah.
But I actually used the whisk on this to do a cake mix the other day.
Oh.
And, you know, I did it slowly. I think I used a fork to kind of start it.
Get it started.
Because it's not that strong. You wouldn't want to ever do. You can do bread with it or anything like that, you know, but it did work.
Yeah. And you got to, whatever you do, you got to have a deep bowl when you use it, because that whisk does get crazy, and it starts throwing food around. So you want to make sure you don't do this in like a 1-quart bowl. You got to do it in like a 10 or 20 quart bowl.
20 quarts?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't using anything that big.
Yeah.
I think you're just quite a messy cook.
Maybe.
And your cats love it. You know, they can go in and clean up later.
Yeah. I'm going to teach them how to deep clean the kitchen.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
All right, folks. That's our October show. Thanks for tuning in and bearing with us. And we will look forward to seeing you all back here in November. And we're going to have some more holiday tips in November.
That would be great. If you're not already a subscriber to our online magazine, it's free to do so. Just go to www.seattledining.com and click on subscribe free.
And as always, we want you to dine well, dine safe, and dine often. And don't cook like my mother.
Don't cook like Tom's mother.
Thanks for listening to another edition of the Seattle Dining Show. This program is a copyrighted production of Mix Media and may not be reproduced in part or in whole without written permission of the legal owner, all right? However, feel free to share the link with all your friends on Facebook. Studio equipment for this broadcast was purchased locally at American Music of Fremont Icon. The views and opinions expressed on this show are exclusive to the host and guests and do not reflect those of former employees of Bill the Butcher, the Surrogate Hostess, the Beeline Diner, Louis Chinese Cuisine, the Doghouse, the 5 Mile House, Charlie's, the Twin Teepees, Ocean Air, Benjamin's, the Madison Park Cafe, or any other lost Seattle icon. Subscribe free to our monthly magazine online at seattledining.com and join us next time for another edition of the Seattle Dining Show.